I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's the butterfly effect for real.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Friday, October the 2nd, and we are going to break down the barn burner that was the Jets and the Broncos. You know what, John Breach and Ryan Wilson, do you know how some people have described that game?
A hot mess inside a dumpster fire, inside a train wreck.
That's right. That's what someone described television this week as. Jets Broncos. Isn't that amazing?
Oh, yeah. I got that clip there. That was good use of that. Way to go.
Thank you.
You know what the thing is, though? This was like a dumpster fire where the fire.
That line from Jake Tapper.
Where the fire goes out and then you find like $100 bill inside of it. And you're like, that wasn't that bad. I thought this was going to be miserable. I was going to fall asleep by halftime. And all of a sudden this turned into a shootout, where I think Twitter was cheering for Adam Gase to get fired the whole entire fourth quarter.
He's not getting fired. Connor J. Hughes of The Athletic, as Wilson noted in Slack, has reported that the Jets won't be firing anybody. As I've said repeatedly.
Tonight or tomorrow morning is the whole tweet. Just so we're clear.
So it could be Monday, I guess. I don't think anybody fires any coach in season. It's just bad form to fire somebody in the middle of a pandemic.
You say that, but we talked about this on the HQ show, which you should watch because we're on there Monday, Thursday, Friday.
I'm on Wednesday too.
Yeah, but me and Breach aren't, so that doesn't matter.
If you want to watch us with our fun Super Friends takes, Monday, Thursday, Friday, 4 p.m. to 4:30 p.m., CBS Sports HQ, free on your Amazon Fire, Apple TV,
Roku.
I think we have a CBS PlayStation, Xbox. So a lot of smart TVs just have CBS Sports apps, which is pretty cool.
Your iPads.
By the way, the Broncos won 37-28. At the end of the game, Vic Fangio did not shake hands with Adam Gase because Garrett Bowles was furious that Brett Rippin, or as Steve Smith likes to call him, Brett Ripken, was taking multiple huge shots. Once the Jets went offside, look, my larger point here is that Adam Gase is a clown. He's not getting fired, but he is a clown. Here's a question for you. Are the 2020 Jets worse than either the 0-16 Browns or 0-16 Lions?
Well, worth noting, your buddy Bill Brinson on Twitter sent this out during the game.
Will Brinson's hairpiece on Twitter.
No, Will Brinson, your local neckbeard is his name now, but at Bill Brinson. He said, got a question for the Pick Six Pod listeners. Who's worse, Hugh Jackson or Adam Gase? And then, Brinson, you just threw in – who'd you throw in? The Detroit Lions, 08?
Marty Morningwig and the 08 Lions, yeah.
Not Marty. That wasn't Marty. That was the old-timer defensive line coach. He was a head coach of that team.
Really?
Yeah. What's his name? Anyway, who's worse, Hugh Jackson, the Hugh Jackson-led Browns or Adam Gase-led Jets? That was the original
– Rod Marinelli. Good call. Yeah. Oh, man. Good defensive line coach. Yeah, you're right.
Adam Gase in a runaway victory. Maybe this is recency bias. I don't know. According to the Twitter poll, 65% think Adam Gase is worse than Hugh Jackson, which look, man, Adam Gase is at least, well, he won games in Oakland. And the Cleveland Browns were the worst thing to happen to Hugh Jackson.
Adam Gase has been to the playoffs.
His first year, but after that, he's not had a winning record. But I don't know. This is half a dozen of one. This is tough. And it's a lose-lose. I would actually rather have Rod Marinelli. I feel like his players at least respect him.
Rod Marinelli's a good defensive line coach.
Yeah.
Marty Morning was 0-1 and 0-2. He went 5-27 with
the. If we're only comparing the 0-16 Browns, you know, we're not comparing Hugh Jackson's entire coaching career. We're comparing one season to one season. I'm going to say that 0-16 Browns team was better. Their first four games, they started off 0-4, obviously, they went 0-16. They lost two games by 3 points. Very well could have been 2-2. The Jets have looked helpless. This was the only game where they even showed a sign of life, and they were playing a team that had to fly two time zones on a short week and was starting an undrafted quarterback. And any other team in the NFL would have won this game by two touchdowns. Adam Gase and Greg Williams put together some game plan and let Brett rip them, tear them apart. If Pierre Desir wasn't on this team, the Jets would have lost 45-15.
Counterpoint. It wasn't those 2016 Browns. The 2016 Browns actually went 1-15, only beating the Chargers on Christmas Eve. It was the 2017 Browns, the encore performance by Hugh Jackson that actually went 0-16. So I would say that while I think the 2020 Jets are worse than the 2017 Browns, I think Adam Gase, if he goes 0-16, and I think there's a pretty good chance he's going to, or at least doesn't win a game until he gets fired, he's a worse coach than Hugh Jackson.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is not a conversation you want to be in, okay? I mean, that's where we're at on this. I will say,
literally every player from the Dolphins who left the Dolphins or stayed with the Dolphins, Devontae Parker, has exploded. The Kenyon Drake had a monster year last year. Ryan Tannehill, didn't even comeback player of the year. He's like a borderline MVP candidate 3 weeks in the season.
Got paid.
Devontae Parker had a monster year. Like everybody who gets out from under Gase's, like Sam Darnold's going to win football games somewhere if he doesn't stay with the Jets.
In Pittsburgh with the Steelers, if Juju Smith-Schuster gets his wish.
That was my prediction like weeks ago.
You know, funny?
Were you talking to Juju?
I
was on the HQ video show that we did at 4 to 4:30 on Thursday. I was actually saying I was excited to watch Sam Darnold play because he will be somewhere else almost certainly after this year if they have the first overall pick to Trevor Lawrence, yada, yada, yada. Look, I know it's not all his fault, but some of the decisions he made Thursday night were unacceptable for a third-year quarterback. That hit he took where he separated his shoulder and somehow magically came back in. Lawrence Cager was running wide open on a slant with a safety standing in the middle of the field 40 yards behind the line of scrimmage, and he did not throw that pass. That cannot happen for a third-year quarterback who then goes on to get hurt, and you have to see Joe Flacco. Forgot Joe Flacco was alive. I'm glad to hear that he's still doing okay.
In Darnold's defense, nobody knew Lawrence Cager was alive until Troy Aikman pointed out that he was running wide open in the secondary. Most people probably thought he was the villain from Cliffhanger.
Your Brenton,
that's funnier than you're giving credit for.
How many people listening do you think have seen Cliffhanger, a movie from 1993?
I watched it like 2 weeks
although
ago.
Although it's a good movie. I'm not going to lie.
They use the F word a lot in that movie.
That was when I went through my Sylvester Stallone phase. He had Demolition Man around that time. That was a strong early part of the decade for him.
I mean, let's not forget 99 is like this is peak Pick Six podcast. Yeah. 99 is an epic year for movies. I think it's in the Line of Fire too.
What's the Sly Stallone movie where he gets stuck in a tunnel like he's working in New York City?
I think it's just called Daylight. Is it Daylight?
It might be Daylight. Well done, Breach.
I know my Sly Stallone movies.
Wait, was it 99?
No, it was 93. Cliffhanger came out in 93.
93? What are you talking about, Breach?
I said 93. You said 99. Get out of here, Brinson. And the only reason I knew that is because Ace Ventura 2 mocks it in the opening, and that came out in 96. So it came out before.
That's right.
But the one thing I do want to say to Ryan's point about how Darnold was missing throws, how do you feel if your Jets?
Wait, before we move on, just can I read a couple of movies from 93? Because it really Jurassic Park, Mrs. Doubtfire, The Fugitive, Schindler's List, The Firm, Indecent Proposal, Cliffhanger, Sleepless in Seattle, Philadelphia, and The Pelican Brief, just to name a few.
Big year.
That is pretty ridiculous.
That is a strong year.
That's like a decade of movies in 2000, like 2000.
And every listener under the age of 26 has seen like two of those.
I made a Teen Wolf joke.
Probably Mrs. Doubtfire.
I made a Teen Wolf joke on Twitter on Thursday night, and I got a bunch of like, you sleep 12 hours a night? That's ridiculous, old man. Yeah.
And you're like, LOL, I have a kid.
I was like, I haven't slept 12 hours.
All right, Breach, continue with your
Sam Darnold. Just going to say about Sam Darnold that it's not just that he's missing throws. Dude, you're the number three overall pick. You just got outplayed by an undrafted free agent who had to start a game on 3 days' notice. I mean, if that's not rock bottom, if that doesn't say you need to get out of New York, it shouldn't be the Jets thinking about getting rid of Darnold. It should be Darnold trying to figure out how he can get out of this relationship because he's being destroyed there. So I'm having my agent. I am doing whatever I can to get out of New York if I am Sam Darnold, because if he wants to save his NFL career, he needs to get out of New York ASAP and not be playing for Adam Gase.
In his defense, he does have more rushing touchdowns this year than Saquon Barkley.
That is true.
And if the Jets want to move him to running back, Will, then I'm fine with that. But if he wants to keep playing quarterback, then he's got to go somewhere else.
Well, also, in all seriousness, to Ryan's point about, and to your point too about getting out of New York, I think my concern would be, and this is easy to say as like somebody sitting here in a old Tuffy rope hat, which you can see on youtube.com/pick6. But I feel like if I were Sam Darnold, I think you have to know that Adam Gase is probably getting fired at the end of the year. Like, you have to be realistic and know that, right? If you're texting with your parents, people you trust, you're like, man, this guy's got to be getting fired. I don't think I would even consider, and I know that he's not going to get a giant extension offer, but like, I'm not even thinking about signing an extension until I find out who the next coach is.
They ain't offering one. They're taking Trevor Lawrence.
Well, this leads me to a question from loyal podcast listener Jason Embry, who said, you are the Jets. You have the number one overall pick and Sam Darnold. What do you do?
I mean, come on. What are you talking about? You're taking Trevor Lawrence.
Well, and the best part.
Sam Darnold's a good process. I am not giving up on Sam Darnold.
Well, here's the best part for the Jets.
You take
is that it does not often work out where like contracts line up, but they don't have to decide on Darnold's fifth year option until May. And the draft is in April. So if you have the number one pick, you're taking Trevor Lawrence, and then you have Sam Darnold for one more year, $920,000. You basically got the cheapest number three overall pick you're ever going to get because you're not picking up his fifth year option. That's where quarterbacks get really expensive because that's going to be $25 or $30 million. Boom. I do think if they're number one overall pick, it's because Darnold was their quarterback. They're taking Trevor Lawrence.
Breach, are you trading Sam Darnold if you're the Jets after taking Trevor Lawrence? Or with the intention of taking Trevor Lawrence maybe before the draft?
I mean, if I can
hold on. Let me finish. Second round pick.
Yes. Like
okay.
Yes.
Really?
If I have Trevor Lawrence, I'm second round pick. Absolutely.
Well, just a hypothetical here. You could, in theory, keep him for his fourth year. You could also, in theory, pick up the fifth year option, which you can do, which is for injury only for Sam Darnold's class. So you can decline it as long as he didn't get hurt. You could pick up the fifth year option.
I don't think it's injury. I think
no, the only, new CBA
only
is
the class. No, only the class that came in with that CBA. So Darnold is a part of the new CBA now. It doesn't matter if he got drafted before it. It was only ones that had their option picked up.
I wish Bleep was here because he's in law school now and maybe he's finally read the CBA.
He ain't doing. All he does is tweet about Arsenal.
It's unbelievable.
Study.
This guy leaves the NFL podcast. He leaves a cushy NFL job. Where he works and like sleeps all day, podcasts a couple hours like at night, and he leaves it to go to law school, and all he does is tweet about sports.
I've never seen an L1 do less studying.
Did you see what I said to him today? So I'm going to print out all his tweets. This is a setup. So I'm print out all his tweets and mail them to his parents. He was like, well, maybe you should just mail the t-shirt. I was like, no, that's the joke. The package will show up for me and they'll think it's the t-shirt, but it's actually the envelope is just stuffed with printouts of your like 10 p.m., 11 p.m. tweets. You're setting your parents' money on fire not studying.
You should use the t-shirt as the envelope to put in the papers with the tweets.
Wrap the tweets in the t-shirt and put a label on it. All right. Anyway, this is incredible. But here's my argument. You pick up Sam Darnold's fifth year option because it's in. Injury only or whatever. I don't care. The Jets have tons of cap space. The Jets are not going anywhere for 3 years. You draft Trevor Lawrence. You have Mekhi Becton. You need to pick up some skill position guys. You have some pieces. You get a new head coach who's offensive oriented. He comes in. Sam Darnold has a good fourth year. And then instead of letting him walk a la Drew Brees, you can trade him for a first round pick. Because he's under contract for the fifth year option, which is a cheaper option.
You're
for
not
the team
drafting Trevor Lawrence to sit on the bench. He is playing day one. And you get a second round pick for Sam Darnold. You turn that into offensive lineman and you're not waiting around to see what happens.
I'm just saying that you could.
What if he has a terrible year? And then he just walks. Get what you can for him. Move on. Start over. Fresh start for everyone. This is a breakup where you go to one college, you go to the other college. Don't try to date while you're dating from a distance.
And Brenton, in that case, I think that means you have to get the trade done at the end of April, early May, before the fifth year option deadline, so that the new team can decide and you can take that into account where, hey, you know, maybe we don't want a second round pick. Maybe we want a first round pick because you can keep them for 2 years instead of one and then figure out what you want to do. But you'd only have like a week or two window to get that deal done where the new team would be able to decide on the option.
Also, Darnold has a sprained shoulder, according to PFT. I don't know.
Also, he had the longest touchdown run of any quarterback over the past 3 years. That's when I knew this game was going to be crazy. The first
shout
possession.
Shout out to your boy on the preview podcast with RJ White. I said over under 8.5 rushing yards for Sam Darnold. Mash that over, baby. It's a free cash.
On the first possession, it cashed. I would like to say.
Got a bunch of tweets.
That is the earliest a Brinson prop has ever. It's got to be. That's not even a joke. That's not even making fun of Brinson. That is the opening possession. Like, that's
insane. First or second possession? Was it first or second?
First.
It was?
Yeah, because in fact, my wife was
what
whinging about something, and I was like, quick. I got to go to work, man. And I finally got to my office, and all of a sudden, Sam Darnold. It was the first play I saw was Sam Darnold busting through the line. It was on third down.
By the way, when you go back and watch that play, try to figure out what Kareem Jackson's doing there.
He's trying not to get penalized. He thought Darnold was going to slide, I think.
Yeah, that's Josh Allen even pointed out on Twitter. He's like, whoa, the fake slide. We're going to see Josh Allen using it because he kind of stuttered like he was going to slide. If you're a defender, you're not going to get that 15-yard penalty unless you play for the Jets because they got like six of them. But that touchdown run by Sam Darnold, 46 yards, was the longest touchdown run by a quarterback in Jets history and the longest touchdown run by any quarterback in the NFL since week two of 2017. When Deshaun Watson scored a 49-yard run against the Cincinnati Bengals.
Well, how long was Mahomes' playoff run?
All
the stats are regular season when the NFL tabulates. That's just how it is. Dumb.
I'm gonna tabulate it.
So let me ask you this. Ryan, this question is for you. Because on All Things Covered, the excellent NFL, the second best NFL podcast at CBS Sports, with Brian, maybe it actually might be the best. It probably is better. It is a little annoying that it's already better. Patrick Peterson, Cardinals cornerback, and Brian McFadden, our buddy and former, of course, Pittsburgh Steelers DB. They had Juju, two-time Super Bowl champion. Yes, they mentioned that a lot. It's always weird when you go on with him because they're like, Anel, two-time Super Bowl champion. You're like, oh, yeah, I did. And it's like, nah, that's not.
And old Tuffy himself, Will Brinson.
I know. That's the bad part. It's two-time Super Bowl champion and this chump I have to sit next to.
And the guy wearing a hoodie.
And who's here for the pick six thing? It's like, Brinson. Anyway, Juju Smith-Schuster was on that podcast, All Things Covered. Highly recommend you go and subscribe to it. In fact, even if you're like on the fence about listening to it, do us a favor as a, you know, podcast favor is what I'm asking for you. Go try it. Go subscribe. Just hit the subscribe button. Don't have to download. Don't care. Just go hit the subscribe button as a podcast favor for our friend, Brian McFadden. We'll spread the love around the family. Juju Smith-Schuster was the guest. They had Juju Smith-Schuster, and they also had this guy named
Tyron Matthew
on the show previously. So, like, they're killing it with a guest. Juju said, Sam Darnold, if we could get him to Pittsburgh, I would. Ryan Wilson, my question to you, as a Steelers honk, what would you give up right now to get Sam Darnold in Pittsburgh with the understanding everybody's on board, Big Ben knows Sam Darnold's like the long-term future, you don't have to worry about it, but you can bring Sam Darnold to Pittsburgh now. You have to make the call as you're Kevin Colbert. You make the call to Joe Douglas. What are you offering him?
I'll give him a second round pick. It'll be hopefully a mid to late second round pick because that's where the Steelers are headed at 3-0. There are concerns about the decision making, but I mean, clearly the athleticism is there. He is a playmaker. I would imagine he is, you know, quote unquote, seeing ghosts because he's been running for his life for 3 years now. And, you know, I get that. But is he better than Mason Rudolph? Yeah, he's a lot better than Mason Rudolph.
God, of course, yes.
Duck Hodges. And if you're picking, you know, 25 or lower in the first round, you're not going to get a quarterback that can come in right away and play. Maybe you get Trey Lance, a kid out of North Dakota State, but he's been playing FCS. He's not even playing this year except one game, this little showcase game that's happening this Saturday, which is a whole weird thing because of the pandemic. I would take Sam Darnold. They both, Roethlisberger and Sam, both have one more year in their deal. Sam's obviously got the fifth-year option. And I don't envision a situation where Roethlisberger plays beyond 2021. I mean, who knows? But I think having a backup plan that is Sam Darnold is a lot better than the alternatives. Here's the other thing, and I wrote this down. We didn't get a chance to get to it for the Pick 6 show on HQ. But so here's some teams that aren't terrible that might be in the Sam Darnold business. The Steelers, the Saints, the Colts, the Pats, and the Bears. Those are all teams whose quarterbacks' contracts are either up next year or the year after. And, of course, we know that the Saints, I mean, the Bears probably are done with Mitchell Trubisky.
Mm. Bears, I think, have traded all their future second-round picks for tight ends. the Pats are in the division, so that's a little bit tough. I don't know. It's hard to trade a quarterback in your own division. Like, you trade your former first. And again, this is all predicated on the Jets getting the first overall pick. If they don't get the first overall pick, I don't like, would you, or let's say they get the second overall pick. Would you trade Darnold and draft Justin Fields? I don't think and I haven't watched enough Justin Fields. He's only played one season.
Yeah. Well, he'll get to play, which is great. They start, this month now that we're in October.
Yeah.
So we'll get a better look at it. He did a great job in year one, but there's some things that he needs to do to get better. And
I think Trevor Lawrence is the best quarterback prospect.
That's probably Andrew Luck.
I think the three guys are Luck, or Peyton, Luck, and Trevor Lawrence.
Joe Burrow.
Oh, Joe Burrow. Yeah, but Joe Burrow was just one year. Joe Burrow is awesome. I think Joe Burrow is a franchise quarterback. I told you I'd take him third overall if I were drafting quarterback, if I were drafting, doing a do over draft right now.
I will say this, sort of the follow up point Breach is saying. I said in April after the draft, early May, that Joe Burrow I would take over Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence had an up and down season last year, started slow and then got.
That's a mistake.
Got much better. Yeah, Prisco and Brady agree with you, but.
Lawrence is awesome. Brady's great. Brady. Burrow is great.
Joe Burrow is really, really good, and he is playing behind the same sort of offensive line that Sam Darnold is. So we'll see. I mean, Trevor Lawrence in New York and Sam and Joe Burrow in Cincinnati, it may not look much different. But
it's a good reminder, too, that, like, at a certain point, you can't do – it doesn't matter how talented or how skilled you are. Brady Quinn and I talked about this on Tuesday. Like, we're talking about – it's always weird, like, asking somebody about their, like, if you could change something about your career or whatever. But, like, if Brady had come out a year later and had been drafted 18th overall by the Ravens, I mean, does he make $160 million? And is he a borderline – like, are people, you know, people having the elite debates about Brady Quinn? You know what I'm saying? Like
– And, you know, he got injured. Like, he had a foot injury. I think he hurt his hand on someone's helmet early in his career. Yeah, it's just a whole confluence of events that usually mean if you go to Cleveland, you're doomed. I mean,
that's sort of my point is, like, Sam Darnold went to the Jets and they have had multiple GMs, multiple head coaches. They've stripped everything down. His number one receiver for most of his career has either been Robbie Anderson or Jamison Crowder. And I love Jamison Crowder, but come on. Braxton Berrios, Le'Veon Bell, who they signed, who isn't healthy. Their defense, they traded away Jamal Adams for multiple first round picks. I get it. But you're losing your best defensive player. They have CJ Mosley, who they signed for a butt ton of money, opted out of the season. That's fine. That's their own personal thing. But you lost your two best defensive players. They, by the way, Jeff Schwartz pointed this on Twitter. Mekhi Becton was too hurt to be the starter. So they listed, and this is their first round pick this year. A first round raw, but very talented dancing bear left tackle.
He's been awesome.
He's clearly a very good draft selection, but he wasn't healthy enough to start. So they made him a backup and then jammed him into the lineup or jammed him onto the field when their starter got hurt. If your first round pick isn't healthy enough to start, he doesn't need to be playing. Period. End of story. That is malpractice.
He came in on the fifth play when, Chuma got hurt, and then he came out in the second half because he was too hurt to play, and they had to. I don't even know who the
Adam Gase sucks. He sucks.
I mean, just imagine that at another position. Imagine the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes is injured, and Andy Reid's like, Andy Reid would never do this. He's like, you know what? Patrick's not going to start because he's too banged up. He comes in on the fifth play and then ends up leaving in the game anyway because he gets injured. Like, you would get just obliterated.
Imagine what you would do if Joe Burrow had a shoulder injury. But he was
right. He's going to suit up. Don't even suit. Like, if somebody, an important piece of your organization is injured, leave him out. It's a short turnaround. It's only 3 days. If he's not right to play, he's not ready to play.
0-3. You know you suck. And by the way,
it's your left tackle for the next 10 years. Why are you trying to screw him up?
If I'm Joe Douglas, like, I'm not firing Adam Gase because I'm pretty new at the job. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? Like, you didn't run that. I mean, so they run that by the GM. They run it by the owner. Like, I know it's a game day decision. That is coaching malpractice. You know what else is coaching malpractice? And we need to get to a break in a second, but 3rd and 4 in the red zone. You have the ball. You're the Jets. This is a game you really need to win unless you're trying to tank and get the first pick.
By the way, before you finish, Trevor Lawrence is trending on Twitter at 12:40 a.m. after the game.
Of course. Adam Gase calls a play that involves a wheel route to 37-year-old Frank Gore on 3rd and 4 in the red zone.
How'd it work out?
It was incomplete. Frank Gore, by the way, 37 years old. He's been playing in the NFL for almost 20 years. He has less than 500 catches in his career. Frank Gore is awesome. I think he should be a Hall of Famer. He's been grinding he's out there grinding his ass off. He ain't a pass catcher. And you're running a wheel route? He has 15 catches in the 2 years he's played with Adam Gase. You know he's not a receiving guy. What are you doing?
And to add on to that, because we keep talking about how badly Adam Gase coached tonight and that, you know, it's a shock he's going to keep his job. I'm going to really put into perspective how badly Adam Gase coached tonight. Okay, first of all, the Jets scored 2 touchdowns. One was on a pick 6, which has nothing to do with Adam Gase. The other one was on a completely broken down, random lucky. I can't even talk.
You love ours tonight.
Did you try and claim that you didn't miss say perspective? And then come back and say lucky?
Rucky.
Lucky. Lucky. Are we going to bleep out all the R's? All right. So, Sam Darnold's 46-yard broken touchdown run, and you had Pierre Desir's pick 6. Those were your 2 touchdowns for the Jets. Absolutely nothing. In the fourth quarter, we had 4th and inches. You're 28-27. You're trailing. You go for it.
I disagree with this one.
Fourth and inches. Okay, so they kick the field goal. Fine, they're up. But if they get the first down, you're running time off the clock. The other one was right before halftime. They had 1st and 10 from the Broncos 20-yard line with 34 seconds left, 2 timeouts. You have a few, you can still continue your drive. Instead, the Jets took 3 shots into the end zone. They weren't even trying to get 5 or 10 yards to get closer in the end zone. You had 2 timeouts. You can literally call anything you want and 3 incompletions because you went to the end zone 3 times.
I mean, he went to halftime with a timeout somehow.
And he went to halftime with a timeout because they didn't look for anything underneath it. Like, and the Broncos weren't even trying. They were going after Darnold and they were protecting the end zone. The underneath was there and Gase wasn't calling the plays. Darnold wasn't making the throws.
And your only receiver is Jamison Crowder, who only works underneath. Like, what are you doing?
Bad decision after bad decision.
The Broncos score the Melvin Gordon touchdown. They go up 8. They kick the extra point. They go up 9. After that, you're down 9. Okay. And Sam Darnold gets a crack at it. They go 4 and out. The Broncos get the ball back. There's 1:03 left and the Jets have 3 timeouts. And I understand that Herm Edwards famously for the Jets said you play to win the game. No one wants to give up, but we're in a GD pandemic, man. You're down 9 points. If you do the math, there's going to be 13-20 seconds left on the clock. You're not going to score a touchdown, convert an onside kick, and then make a field goal in the span of 13 seconds. So maybe be a gentleman. Don't call your timeouts. Gase, of course. They're taking knees. The Broncos are taking knees. They're like, hey, look, man, we're taking knees. Like, let's get out of here. Your turf sucks. No one else gets hurt. Let's call it a day. Gase is squeezing his timeouts on Vic Fangio, and they're like, are you kidding me?
And Fangio, that's why Fangio was mad, not because of the hits on Rippon, but because of the timeouts. Because I don't think you can be mad about the hits on Rippon, because you're calling the pass plays. You don't have to call these pass plays. Right. You could have punted it or kneeled it. So I don't think you'd be mad about that, but you can absolutely be mad about the timeouts because the result of this game was not changing.
I mean, like, I understand that if you get the ball back with 13 seconds, something could happen. But, like, we saw it on Monday night. John Harbaugh got the ball back down two scores against his mentor, Andy Reid. And Andy Reid ran a play on fourth down and threw it out of bounds. Harbaugh took a knee. It's football. It's, you got to win.
Also worth noting.
But like you got to have some decency.
Coming into this game.
It's common sense.
Coming into this game, the Jets had scored over three games, 37 points. They weren't going to magically get red hot and burn, you know,
right.
roll off 10 straight points in the span of 45 seconds. So, yeah.
I'm with you. Last thing on this game, by the way, the Jets scored 28 points and Sam Darnold went 23 of 42 for 230 yards. How is that even possible?
And he ran for 84 yards.
He really?
I got one more thing too. If they don't want to fire Adam Gase, maybe they can let Greg Williams go. You had six personal foul calls on your defense. They look completely undisciplined. And the biggest play of the game to me for the Jets wasn't any of the dumb stuff that they did on offense and stuff that Adam Gase was doing. It was with 5 minutes left in the game, the Broncos had a 3rd and 6 from their own 29. The Jets had Brett Rippon dead to right. It's going to be 4th down. They're going to have to punt. And the Jets are winning 28-27 at this point. Quinnen Williams face masks Brett Rippon, 15-yard penalty, 1st down. The Broncos then march down the field, get the go-ahead field goal, and it's game over. If you don't face mask Rippon there, and there were three Jets players there. Rippon was not getting away. He was getting sacked. And so if that face mask doesn't happen, they are punting because they're at their own 29-yard line, 4th and 6. And you're the Jets. You're going to burn a lot of the clock off, and you probably win the game at that point. And so you lose because your defense just kept making dumb mistakes, except for Pierre Desir, who actually did make a dumb mistake or when he didn't pick off that pass
at the end of the Jerry
Judy touchdown. Yeah, he should have had 3 interceptions.
Adam Gase, they showed a Zoom call on NFL Network. That's why I pulled my earphones off. Oh. They were like, what did you think about Vic Fangio seemed a little bit upset about that some players were taking shots. He goes, I've known Vic for a minute here. I'm sure we'll talk.
Yeah, they were on the staff together.
What are you doing? Explain yourself.
In Chicago.
Right.
Yeah, 2015. The thing
with Quinnen
Williams. All right, we got to get a break. We have to go. Debo's been screaming at me for 20 minutes to take a break. He said it was 20 minutes ago. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about the team that won the game.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives, you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping in Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Just kidding. We're going to talk about the Jets and Adam Gase some more. No. Do you want to talk about the Broncos?
I want to say quickly about Quinnen Williams, who Breach just talked about. Well, I want to say it before the break, but you won't shut up and let me make my point.
Well, you wouldn't shut up and let me get a break.
Yes, of course. Appreciate I take full responsibility.
Yeah.
What are you
interrupting everybody, by the way? I mean, just so much.
I know. I just can't remember the exact phrasing when he called him a clown. I can't. We have to get that drop.
I don't think we can do that job.
Yeah, I don't think we can either. So Quinnen Williams made the face mask penalty in the fourth quarter and that critical play.
Inside a train wreck.
Yes, exactly. He also had a personal foul penalty in the first half when he put his full body weight on Brett Rypien. That was also a personal foul 15-yard penalty. And here's my thinking. Greg Williams, as we know, is the Bounty Gate guy who got suspended because he had that stupid French beard and those dark-rimmed glasses. And he was, you know, trying to presumably, allegedly get people hurt. But if you're Nick Saban at Alabama, Quinnen Williams is not doing, forget two personal foul penalties. He's not having one personal foul penalty. And it just makes you wonder what happens. What is Greg Williams doing? And Bree sort of talked about it. If you're getting rid of guys, Greg Williams might be a place to start because there is no coaching going on, at least in terms of discipline. And it's just one train wreck after the next for the Jets, who are truly and utterly terrible, the worst team in football. What are you laughing at?
I got to give Kevin Boyard credit for this one. This is pretty good. Pick Six Podcast. If you get him at Pick Six Pod on Twitter, they, you know, the Sarah McLaughlin, animals.
You will remember.
No, it's just like, is that the song? The one where they do for like the dogs, they come adopt the dogs.
That's exactly it. Come on.
Okay. Well, they did one for like, they did the faces of all the Jets players walking off the field with that song. It's like, call now 1-800-JET-HELP.
Oh, yeah. I saw that. That was poignant. On point.
All right, so Brett Rypien started for
Jeff Driscoll.
I was going to say the Broncos, but yes.
By the way, came in for one play, as did Joe Flacco.
Yeah, what was he doing out there?
How did we forget about Flacco?
I know.
Driscoll came in for one play and got hit. I think it was personal.
He got a nine-yard game.
The Broncos when Darnold got hurt. I was like, give me it. I'll fade Flacco on Thursday night, baby. I lied bet the Broncos when Darnold got hurt. And then I realized it was Flacco that came in. I was like, oh my God, Flacco is going to torch me, isn't he? Brett Rypien, 19-31, 242 yards, two touchdowns, three picks. I mean, who had a more up and down game, Brett Rypien or Pierre Desir? Because there was a hot minute there where people were like, Rypien can, like, I was like, Rippin's kind of slinging it. I mean, he can.
I saw that. And here's the thing. He's Trevor Siemian when Trevor Siemian first came on the
scene. No. He throws a way better deep ball than Trevor.
Remember when Trevor Siemian first came on the scene?
Siemian's a check down machine.
He's not terrible. First of all, Brett Rypien does not have a great arm. And we saw that when he tries to, he can't, you can squint, but you go back and watch. I mean, this is how he was at Boise State too. When he comes off that first read and he tries to force a second read, that's usually when Pierre Desir shows up and runs into the end zone. And that.
What about that 7-yard touchdown pass to Tim Patrick, Ryan? Looked like a pretty good arm there.
I thought he made some good throws.
That was a great throw, Breach. It was also his first read against single coverage with a single high safety. So
I don't know that that's necessarily Brett Rypien has a bad arm. So much as Brett Rypien can't read progression.
No, I agree. I mean, we saw it with Ryan. We saw it in the Jerry Jeudy touchdown catch. He didn't have the arm strength to put it where it needed to be, and his receivers kind of bailed him out. But you're an undrafted free agent. It's your first start, and you only had 3 days to prepare. Like,
he played Boise your whole career.
If you consider the circumstances, I thought he played great, even with three interceptions.
That's right. I will give him a B, maybe B plus effort. Yeah. But if we're talking about him being a starter, that's where I'm like, okay, let's calm down.
No. I mean,
Wait, Ryan, what about a starter for the Broncos?
By the way, look, he had two throwaways in that game that are. Arguably the two worst throwaways in NFL history.
What was the second one? The first one
the
I remember.
The first one was an interception. I've never seen
other
that.
One. Right. The other one was
an interception on a throwaway. Like, he didn't throw the ball out of bounds. The second one was, he had been told, do not take a sack. Whatever you do, do not take a sack. And so when the Jets got a semblance of pressure, he turned and fired it out of bounds without moving out of the tackle box.
And when you watch the replay, the Akdal 22, he knows this. He called the play. All the receivers are running right. He throws left where there's no one over there.
Yeah. They were like, they told him, and this is one of those, like, you don't need to know the play call to know this. They said, we are going to run a flood right. If your first read is Jerry Jeudy on this quick out, if he is not open, you throw the ball out of bounds to the left. And he saw that. He saw a little bit of Jets pressure and just bombed out of bounds.
By the way, who's the offensive coordinator? What's his name? Former Browns coach.
Pat Shurmur. Yeah.
Yeah, Pat Shurmur. He goes, okay, mental note. Tell him to throw the ball to the same side of the field as where the receivers are.
And he's right-handed, too. So, like, you don't want to turn left. And throw, like you shouldn't.
Well, what are you doing? I didn't know how to tell you not to throw it over there.
You could, if the receiver, if you are running a right, like, flood concept, and you can look to your right and throw the ball and hit Mars.
Right.
And there's no grounding penalty. But if you turn left and throw it, you are banged. But Rippon was not, I mean, like, I think he exceeded expectations.
One thing quickly on that ball where he was intentional grounding, and I'm surprised Breach hasn't jumped from the ceiling. Brandon McManus still came in and striped a 53 yarder, I think is what
McManus
it was.
Is great.
So, and Breach actually said this on the podcast show.
Yes.
Expect a lot of great kicking. So I think Sam made his kicks, and of course McManus made his kicks.
Well, and you know what's funny about you mentioning the intentional grounding is that both quarterbacks screwed their kicker once in this game because Darnold tripped over his feet and lost 13 yards on third and four, and then Ficken had to come out and try a 54-yard field goal, and he nailed his just like Rippon did to McManus, losing, I think, 12 yards on that intentional grounding, make him try a 54-yarder, and he also nailed his. So it was good showing by the kickers, just as I predicted. I hope everybody had them in DFS. You probably won.
Actually, it's funny you say that, Breach. The guy who so first place in the let's see if it's the same in the so first place in the main DraftKings DFS thing. There were 46 people tied for first place, and here is their lineup. Melvin Gordon, captain. And again, this shows you how random DFS is. Like, Melvin Gordon didn't even have a great game, but broke off an insane 43-yard touchdown run that gave the Broncos the second-half cover, blew the Jets cover at plus three. So Melvin Gordon, captain.
1 yard touchdown.
Imagine if you were, like, the sole first-place person before that Melvin Gordon touchdown run.
That's tough. So Melvin Gordon, captain. Sam Darnold, Jameson Crowder, Tim Patrick, who had, do you have two touchdown catches? Six catches and a touchdown. Sam Ficken, Brandon McManus.
Well, I would like to note that Debo leaves us top fantasy performers notes. And I don't know if he is just doing this to mock me, but Debo, you left off the kickers, man. You left off the kickers. Sam Ficken scored 19 points. That was the third best performance in the game.
He's not even yourself,
Debo? I'm sorry, Breach. Sam Ficken, go way back with Sam Ficken. So that's my bad.
Is Sam Ficken PSU?
He is. Go back to 2011. I broadcasted a Penn State game. He missed four kicks versus Virginia. Four kicks. Never thought he would have a career 10 years later.
Hey, can we get that tape? I want to hear Debo do a Penn State game.
That exists. That's out there on the internet.
Who'd you call it for?
That was in college radio.
Oh,
I was a sophomore. First game I did, traveled down to Charlottesville. Sam Ficken missed four field goals. Penn State lost by one. So that's a decade ago. And me,
is there audio of you, like, blasting Sam Ficken?
There might be.
And that's a watch party we could, like, do on.
We should do like we should.
Well, now I know why you left him off the list, man. If you're still bitter about that, that's fine. That I would still be also.
Second team All Big Ten in 2014.
Yeah, he turned his career around. Had a game-winning kick in a in the Pinstripe Bowl, an epic Pinstripe Bowl. You know, everybody loves that at Yankee Stadium.
And Ficken is on his sixth NFL team.
No, it's a remarkable. Like a lot of kickers, they bounce around, and sure, you don't know if they're going to stick. But yeah,
sticking Ficken. Got to be careful saying that. By the way, Sam Darnold. His post-game presser was asked about...
He owns the record for Penn State consecutive field goals made.
All right, hold on a second. Sam Darnold was asked about Adam Gase's job security, and he said, I love Adam, but it's not my decision to make. So,
oh, shoot. I almost swore there. That is as crippling an indictment as you can possibly have.
Well, he's telling the truth. He loves his coach, but it's not his decision to make whether he can fire him or not. But yeah, that ain't a ringing endorsement.
Man, Breach is dropping Shams bombs on us.
I don't know how Shams is dropping these bombs.
How does Shams have
in the political world?
I know. Can we play
who's
this?
Shams?
You don't know who Shams is?
No.
Are you serious? You're so old.
I am really.
You know old. Who Woj is?
Yeah. Oh, this guy. Right. So this is the young fellow that Woj found back in the day.
Yes. And then Shams. And now, like, there's like a war between Shams and Shams and Woj.
Whoa, really? I didn't know about all that. Yeah, I saw his name the other day because of the NBA stuff. I don't follow NBA, obviously. And I was like, oh, I
so everyone should follow CBS Sports HQ. You can get great content like this.
Now, there's already been a ton of speculation about Adam's security. I mean, how do you feel now? I mean, it's only going to increase now with being 0-4.
Yeah, I mean, it's nothing I'm worried about. I mean, you know, obviously, I love Adam. But, you know, it's not my decision to make.
Mm. That is damning. That is on CBS Sports HQ.
Well,
I mean, some would call it breaking news, shocking news.
Show me the lie.
Sorry, I'm trying to text with Pete Prisco about something.
I mean, that's an indictment on, and that's what I, you know, what did I say earlier that Sam Darnold should be doing his best to get out of town? That's a good start right there. Like, yeah, I kind of have my coaches back, but I really don't at all. That's what you're saying.
That you know what's funny? When you talk to people, like, you know, when we see people at the Super Bowl or the Combine or wherever that have a lot of interaction with Adam Gase, to a person, they love Adam Gase. And it's sort of weird because they say Adam Gase, the person you see on television, is not the person you see when you talk to him on a semi-regular basis. So it's a weird disconnect, but there's no sort of getting away from the fact that at his day job, which we all get to watch, he is not very good.
I've briefly, Pete Prisco knows Adam Gase fairly well. And I haven't interacted with him in a large degree. We barely talked about the Broncos in this podcast, but whatever.
All right.
We talked about Brett Rippin. He seems
like a good dude, but yeah, like he's abrasive. He has bad play calls. He demands, he throws people under the bus. He is not like, why would the Jets ever hire him? Knowing the media market, knowing his history of everything, like not even like, maybe you think he's a great coach. That dude ain't going to work in New York, man. And like, he's now Sam Darnold, by the way, friend of the podcast. He's been on this podcast. Sam Darnold's an awesome kid. He won't say anything bad about anyone. He's a stand up guy. He blamed himself for the Jets' struggles last week.
Wait, so would you say his comments are absolutely a backhanded insult? Like,
yes, this is not something you would expect from Sam Darnold to say. It's not up to me. I mean, like, I don't know what else you say there. Like, I mean, he said, I love. Remember parsing it maybe, but either way, like if Sam Darnold is saying this, it's over.
Well,
and let me say real quick, because you said we didn't talk about the Broncos. We talked about Brett Rippin. I feel like he was the star of the game here for them. You know, like Melvin Gordon did okay, but scoring one of your touchdowns and 43 yards on that last run because the Jets defense was putrid. You know, before that, he had 22 carries for like 60 yards. You know, nothing.
I will say if he's your player of the game, Bradley Chubb's my player of the game. I'm surprised Brinson didn't jump all over that.
I thought Tim Patrick came out of nowhere, if we want to name.
That was great.
I mean, nobody saw that coming, and he had a huge game with a bunch of big catches for Denver.
Yep, I agree. Tim Patrick, undrafted. I don't remember where he went to school.
But beating the Jets, you know, it just doesn't tell you anything because it's like you play the Patriots next week. What is, you know?
Here's what it tells you: you're not winless anymore. So that's a good start, and you get the sense that the Broncos players have Vic Fangio's back, and as we've said, it doesn't feel like that's the case on the other side of the field.
Yeah, and Tim Patrick went to the University of Utah.
Oh, right, that's right. Thank you. Yeah,
you're welcome.
All right, do we need to talk about anything else? I can't.
I think this Broncos team is going to be fine when they get healthy. They've had a ton of injuries. Darrell Casey's now done for the year. We know about Courtland
Sutton. Is Vic Fangio a good coach? He might be.
His players buy in, and you don't have to be a great X's and O's guys if you have X's and O's guys around you. We know he can coordinate defenses, and that's good. They have Pat Shurmur to do offense, and then Pat Shurmur can scheme up for you offensively. And, you know, Drew Locke is hurt. We'll see what that looks like when he comes back. And hopefully we get an idea of how good he can be because, you know, that's what it all rests on. But I think the Broncos will be fine. I'm not just saying that because I picked them to go to the playoffs. I think they seem to be buying in. And the Jets are a train wreck. The Jets are the worst team in football, and I don't even know if it's close. I can't say that.
Hot mess inside a dumpster fire, inside a train wreck.
I'm glad somebody else finds it funny. I played for Prisco. He didn't laugh at all.
I didn't recognize
Tapper, CNN. I don't know.
I didn't recognize Jake's voice at first. I thought it was from Parks and Recs. That's how insane that comment is.
And I do feel like
Tapper, by the way, Eagles fan.
Well, and you're talking about Jake Tapper, political. I do feel like it's fair to mention that we were recording this when it came out that Trump tested positive for coronavirus. And I think the three of us kind of lost our train of thought when that news broke because it's the president of the United States. And, you know, we're a month away from an election. So that is a huge deal. So that if everybody seemed kind of, I don't know, what's the right word? Floozy? Flaky?
I completely
spit. Ryan couldn't think of where Tim. Ryan couldn't think of where Tim Patrick went to school. I can't pronounce my R's.
I came out. I was like, "Why is Breach?"
Hold on, stop. Breach just said, "I don't know."
I'm not
that
wearing
means.
This giant red hat.
Will you please shut up? Breach just said, "I don't know how that makes us feel. Is it floozy?" No, it's not floozy. Floozy is not the word that it makes you feel.
Floozy? What is floozy?
Exactly.
Is that like respective?
No, he
for Rucky?
He was trying to say, I think, discombobulated, and floozy was the word.
That's a better word.
Floozy?
I just Googled floozy. It's definitely not.
No, floozy means a hussy. You're like, right, it means a lady about town.
Yeah.
Exactly. There's a song called Flatfoot Floozy. You ever heard of that song? Great song.
Hey, lady, you're being discombobulated. That's a little different than that.
Hey, ma'am. Please get off the street and stop being discombobulated.
Do we think it's time for them to replace the MetLife Stadium turf?
That we do mention that. That it's a problem. It'd like Ryan, you mentioned this previously, but like I think your line was like, why would you not like you're worried about investing to protect assets?
Right.
Protect your players. You have two teams playing there. And everybody is coming up limp. Noah Fant was carted off, and I think he got hit in the did he get hit in the knee?
Yeah,
but he previously had suffered an injury catching a ball, and then he gets hit in the knee, and then it's a serious injury. KJ Hamler hamstring. Dudes were dropping like flies on that turf. Grow up. So Jets, part, Giants, and MetLife Stadium.
Part soft tissue injury, which could be because of the preseason, as we've talked about before, and like the ligament injuries are a serious concern. And look, Breach mentioned the Steelers, and you know the stadiums in the Northeast that have grass whose turf go to crap. They change out their grass every few weeks once the weather starts turning because you have to do that. And again, if you don't want your hundreds of millions of dollars invested in players to go to waste, play on grass. It's much safer.
Yeah. And Ryan, I think you made the best point about all of that where owners are looking at the price saying, hey, field turf, I replace that once every couple of years. It cost me $500,000. If I want to replace my grass field every so often, it's going to cost me $3 million. But what's that extra $2.5 million when you are protecting your investments? That are, you know, if your salary cap is $200 million, you're protecting $200 million worth of investments. So you shouldn't think twice about using that money to make sure these people don't get injured. So it is a little weird to me. If I don't know how many weeks you put up with this, maybe you give it another week or two. But if somebody tears their ACL next week, that's a huge problem.
What lasts longer, Adam Gase's employment or POTUS's quarantine?
Ooh, I think Adam Gase, because you said no one's getting fired, so 2 weeks is all you have to do to quarantine.
Yeah, I don't think Gase.
I had a buddy in town who got it, and I won't name him, of course. It's not me.
Are you bald under that hat? That's all you wear in your Tuffy's hat?
What are you talking about? you can't see any hair. But the doctors were like, you need to quarantine for until, like 10 days until you stop seeing symptoms. And like very, very vague.
So what did he do? 2 days and then went out and played golf with you?
Yeah, we went, jumped in the pool and hugged and had beers.
Exactly. Yep. That sounds.
No, he did. No, he's been. He had to sleeping outside, quarantine. He's two girls
sleeping outside for real.
No, no. He was separated in his house. I mean, that's the interesting thing about it. And Debo is like, I'm getting like siren emojis from Debo. Like in podcast. In
all right,
podcast.
Before we go, I'm going to do one of my famous things where I prolong it by asking a crazy question. It's pretty simple. When do the Jets get their first win?
Ooh.
2021. Next question.
I mean, looking at the schedule, this is not.
So their next five
brutal.
Games are Cardinals at home, L. At Chargers, probably an L.
100%.
Bills at home, L. At Chiefs, maybe an L. against the Patriots.
And then they get two games in a row against the Dolphins. I think that's their only shot. If they don't win one of those games.
When is the Dolphins bye? That's a screw job.
It's the same bye. It's the same bye.
So they both have the bye in between
week
those
11.
Games.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's 11. Fine then.
If they don't beat the Dolphins one of those two games,
they're not winning a football game.
Raiders at home.
Maybe they can upset the Raiders at home. It's an East Coast game. We saw, you know, the Raiders struggle in the East.
No way.
No, they can beat the Raiders. They literally did it last year. Nothing has changed.
They can't beat the Seahawks. They're not going to beat the Rams in LA. Maybe they can beat the Browns if the Browns have anything to play for.
Nah.
No. Why would the Browns have nothing to play for? Are you crazy?
Well, so they're going to need to beat 5-10 the Dolphins in one of those two games. Or else it's over.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, yes, you're right. Maybe they upset the Chargers. I just don't see a team this bad in the NFL or the SEC.
Let me ask you this. If
I think the Jets get the number one pick, looking at that schedule. I think it's a lock.
Yeah, that's not a limit.
I mean, who's their competition? The Giants? The Giants haven't even played any division games.
And right. The Bengals already have a tie.
Who'd they tie?
Eliminated themselves.
Who'd the Bengals tie?
I don't know, ask Debo.
Bengals getting the first overall pick would be a dream scenario for you.
Oh, I would be completely fine with that. I mean, obviously.
The Bengals should sit Joe Burrow and get the number one overall pick.
As long as Joe Burrow survives the season, I'm fine with that.
But I mean, like, if you get the one first overall pick, you're getting five first round picks.
The Bengals are not
getting four Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
Unless the Jets.
Wait, what'd you say?
I said four Trevor Lawrence. You don't need Trevor Lawrence. So the stakes are upped because teams are going to offer you even more than they normally would. Yeah.
I thought you were saying or Trevor Lawrence. I was like,
no, we agree.
But now, let me ask you this, non-Jets related. If you had the number one overall pick for the Bengals and you could get you could trade Joe Burrow for three future first round picks this hypothetical.
Yeah, Here's a hypothetical with two winless teams. One is the Giants. One is the Falcons. If either one of them get the number one overall pick, you take Trevor Lawrence.
Yes.
Both?
Yes.
The Falcons?
You run Matt Ryan out of town?
100% you take Trevor Lawrence if you're the Falcons. That's a Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers situation.
All right, then Giants with Daniel Jones.
Yes.
I'd much rather have Trevor Lawrence than Daniel Jones.
Yeah, that's the question you have to ask yourself.
Fire Dave Gettleman, look, if the Jets can take Trevor Lawrence, the Giants can definitely take Trevor Lawrence.
You trade Daniel Jones for a third round pick if you're lucky and move on. That's it. What are you waiting for? You could draft 12 offensive linemen and Daniel Jones will be Daniel Jones.
Like the guy's got a nickname Danny Dimes? What are we doing? This guy can't hold on to the football.
Now,
Fans have lost their minds acting like this Daniel Jones is the savior.
If Daniel Jones played behind the Packers offensive line, he would be better.
I like Daniel Jones.
But I'm taking Trevor Lawrence. I mean, you're asking me, yes. I'm telling you.
Trevor Lawrence is a generational quarterback prospect.
And he's so handsome.
Oh, the long hair. He's like Tebow, but less annoying. And with accuracy and instincts and accuracy.
Right. So he's nothing like Tebow, is what you're saying.
And he's not shoving the big guy in your face all the time.
Do the Broncos win any more games?
I don't know. Who they play?
They get to play the Panthers. Their next five are against the Patriots, Dolphins, Chiefs, Falcons, and Raiders.
Wait, win any more games?
Any more.
Yes. The Broncos, I would say the Broncos.
With Brett Rypien, with the undrafted QB?
They haven't played the Raiders yet. They'll win one of those.
They have two Raiders games. They have the Chargers twice, and they have the Panthers, and that's about
it. And the Dolphins.
Yeah, they'll go 3-13.
Oh, the Dolphins, yeah.
No. 6-10.
4-12 tops.
Ooh, 6-10. So they got to win five.
I'm not giving
games.
You 6-10.
Yeah, that's a lot. With Drew Locke.
Panthers, Dolphins, split with Chargers, split with Raiders. That's five right there.
Okay. The Panthers are not that bad. And the game's in Carolina.
Drew Brees can't get hurt, and Jameis Winston throws 17 picks
or 17 touchdown passes, Brenton.
Ooh, that's the first dunk of the game. The thing is, it never would have been a dunk if you ended when Debo asked you to 25 minutes ago.
I'm just messing with Debo. All right, let's get out of here. Great show. We did discuss the Broncos for 35 seconds. And remember, everyone, wear a mask. You never know who you'll be around for portions of any given weekday evening. And you are helping them by wearing a mask when you interact in the same vicinity as they are. Have a great night.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.